Okay, we're beginning here on the Mishnah on the bottom of Pechet Amud Bet. Yatsa Shma Be'ir Mikudeshet. If her name goes out in the city as being known as a married woman, Harizo Mikudeshet, then the assumption is that she is a married woman. Migureshet. If the word goes out in the city that she is a divorcee, Harizo Migureshet, and then she is assumed to be a Migureshet. Rashi notes over here that the fact that she's known as a divorcee, that's a woman who's married to a Kohen, and she gets a shame that she's a divorcee or that her husband divorced her, then we don't allow her to stay together with her husband. Because in terms of allowing her then to marry other parties, and to, from this point forward, not be considered a migureshet, there we're not going to be mekil, and say because of a yitziat kol, because of some sort of rumor, that will be matir ishid ish the alma, we're going to say that this woman is now a divorcee, and she's allowed to marry whomever she wants. Until now, she was married to this individual or some individual. All of a sudden, there are rumors going around that she's divorced. Based on those rumors, we're not going to let her marry another party until she has evidence of the divorce. The only thing that the rumors will do is cast aspersions on her current marriage to a Kohen. Because if she's married to a Kohen and she's a divorcee, it's a problematic marriage. So if the rumors are that her husband divorced her and he's not allowed to take her back, that's what we're choshesh for. So we're choshesh the chumra from the rumors. We're not choshesh the kula for the rumors. And therefore, that's what Rashi says. The circumstances in the Mishnah is a case where she's married to a Kohen and we won't let them stay together. Not in a case where she's married and now we're going to let her marry some other party because there's this rumor circulating that she's a divorcee now and she's not married to the original party. As long as there's no quote-unquote excuse for or explanation of the phenomenon, Rashi explains the word amatla, mashal v'tam shushoveret koach hakol. It's a reason or an explanation for why it would break the power or the substantiation of the rumor that is going around. Ezuhu amatla. What is this type of excuse? What is something that would undermine the rumors or the name that this person has gotten? Kiresh ish ploni et ishto al tnai. An individual divorced his wife on condition. Zarakla kidusha. He threw her kidushin. Safek korovla, safek korovlo, zohi amatlo. That's a case of amatlo, meaning that inherently there's a safek in the whole shmua, that the actual evidence or rumor that is circulating includes within it a petach, an ability to get out of it or see that it wasn't necessarily true. Because the kiddushin were a safek from the beginning. Or the get had a tanai in it. So it's just as possible or plausible that the get did not go through because the tanai was not fulfilled. And based on that, you already have information that would allow you to unsubstantiate the rumors, or to prevent the rumors from being true. And that's what it's called, that it has a matla, it has its excuse, it has its reasoning built into it, which gives you the ability to deflect the problem over here. He points out, Rashi, that the examples that we give in the Mishnah are not necessarily particular to Kiddushin or Gerushin. You could have the same safek that you have by Kiddushin, of safek karovla, safek karovlo, by Gerushin as you have by Kiddushin. These are just the examples that they're bringing. It's not necessarily particular to the case. Vasrina na agavro? Wait a minute. We're going to make her restricted to her husband? Here you have this rumor circulating that she's a divorcee. And all of a sudden, that's going to make her a surat to her husband because of a rumor? Vama ravashi kolkalo debatu nisuin lo chashinanai. Any rumors that circulate after the woman is already married, we ignore them. We don't pay attention to them. We don't pay heed to them. So whether that is the fact that she was previously married, or in the case here that she was a migureshet and she's married to a Kohen, the fact that this information only surfaced after she was already married, we shouldn't pay any heed to that. So Achi Gamar, Yatsa Shma Be'ir Mikudeshet, her name has gone out in the city as being a married woman. Harizo Mikudeshet, then she's a married woman. Mikudeshet Umigureshet, if her name goes out in the city that she was married, and then that she is a divorcee, Harizo Migureshet, then we classify her as being a divorcee, Maitaima, Kol Vishovaro Imo, because the rumor and the breaker of the rumor is together. In other words, this is along the lines of what we call a pesha asur, pesha hetir, that if an individual themselves puts themselves in a predicament which makes them asur, but that same individual then gives us information that makes them mutar, we're going to believe them. If we believe them about the tzad isur, we have to believe them about tzad hetir, because we don't have outside evidence. So over here, the only reason we know this woman is married is because of a rumor. The only reason we know that she's divorced is because of a rumor. One rumor will offset the other rumor. In other words, the way that we're explaining the Mishnah is no longer that it's a case where she is married and in a marriage, and then we hear about this rumor that she's a divorcee and we want to separate her from her husband. No, this is a situation where the woman lives in the city. At one point, she's thought to be married. Next point, she's thought to be divorced. And both of those came from the same source, rumors. And so just like you believe the rumor that she's married, you also believe the rumor that she is now divorced, so that she could then technically marry someone else, or she couldn't marry a Kohen. Amar Rava, Yatzala Shem Mizana Ba'ir. If there are rumors circulating in the city that she is a promiscuous individual, Ein Choshishinla. We don't worry about that. We don't then malign her, or we categorize her already as a zona. Rashi here says that that has implications for a Kohen. If a woman is a zona, she may not marry a Kohen. The way she becomes a zona is if she has bi'ah with someone that is a surala. So that's what Rashi says, that the rumors that are circulating is that she was mizaneh with an oved kochavim, or mizaneh b'den eved. And that would probably posel her the kuna. That's Rashi's claim about what the rumor is that is circulating. Tosafot says that you don't need that. Tosafot says the burden of proof is on the woman. If there are rumors circulating that she had bi'ah, or she had an affair with somebody, we have no idea who that somebody is. The assumption is that it's somebody who is problematic, the kuna. Because the rov of the people who are involved in these activities are not exactly your miyuchas individuals. And therefore, she's deemed to be a zona, unless we have evidence to the contrary, or unless she brings proof to the contrary. We saw that in Masechet Tubot, that when we ask the woman, we say, this baby, who is it? Mativo shel tinok ze. If she tells us it's from so-and-so, a Kohen, so-and-so this, then we do believe her. So if she specifies or tells us that it was born of a certain individual, over there, she is believed. All right, so therefore, Tosafot says that it's a case where the rumors are just circulating, that she's a zona. Rashi says there are specific rumors about who she engaged with that make her into a zona. My taima, do we not believe these rumors? Pritzuta ba'amahu d'chazula. Because this is psychological phenomenon still prevalent today. People like to jump to conclusions. People see half an incident, parts of something, and in their imagination, they already complete the whole picture, and they have a whole story to tell, and they come to the wrong conclusion, and they make a statement of fact as if it is factual, but all because of their supposition, or their circumstantial evidence, or their putting together the pieces and assuming that this is must of what happened, and therefore it becomes bigger and greater than it ever was. As Rashi says over here, Pitzut ba'amahu d'chaza, she'sichacha b'shuk. She was a little frivolous. She was a little flirty in the shuk. Oh, me'achla ben deda. Maybe there was some activity between them. It doesn't mean they had bi'ah. So there are explanations for the rumors that are circulating, but people, because they saw a little bit, assumed a lot. And so they expand or blow up the rumors here, despite the fact that they don't have real evidence of anything that was wrongdoing. Kitana'e, similar to what we see in a baraita, achla b'shuk, if she's eating in the shuk, girgara b'shuk, Rashi claims that girgara b'shuk is that halcha netuyat garon. She's walking around with her head held high, meaning that she's walking around in a not tsanua manner. Others suggest girgara comes from the lashon of to be gluttonous or to gulp down, that she is grabbing food in the shuk from other people and eating it down. Again, behavior that's unbecoming. Hey, nika b'shuk. She nurses out in public. B'kulan, Rabbi Meir Omer Teitzei. In all these instances, Rabbi Meir says that you divorce the woman. She has lost her right to remain in this marriage when she acts in this manner, when this behavior is shown in public. This behavior is evidence of a problem, evidence of a woman who is likely involved in things that we don't want to know about. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says, Teitzei, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mishi Yisu, V'yitnu Ba, Mozorot Balibana. So this is a qualification that we've seen before. This is the gold standard in rumors, that only once the weavers by the moonlight speak about it, that is when you know that the rumors already hit the mainstream. It's in the high time now because they're already speaking about it. It's in the channels of rumors that are already, once you're in those channels, it's pretty good shot that whatever is being said here is true because it's become the common discourse between these individuals. Again, that these individuals are picked to be the gold standard is obviously because they're not the most straightforward of individuals. Normal people don't gossip, but don't speak about these things. Mozrot v'layla, those that are weaving by the moonlight, that's their whole activity is gossip and engaging and talking about, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this individual? The yentas, the evidence now that it is true is strong enough that it's become the news of the tabloids. It's become so public and so well known that we assume that it is true. The difficulty in using them as the gold standard is that these are individuals whose whole activity is engaging in rumor mongering and speaking about other people. The threshold by which we determine this is people who have questionable motives and questionable activity to start with. So therefore, you have Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who agrees with all of you. Amalo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, imkein lo anachta bat le'avram avinu sheyoshevet tachat bala. Then you're going to leave no Jewish woman who's going to be able to stay with her husband. Now, you can read that Rashi says, sheyesh oivim motzim kol b'chinam b'remez muat. There are plenty of people who, on the drop of a dime, will make up rumors, will say things about people, whether that's because they enjoy the rumor mongering, or they just want to have something to say, they need something to contribute to the conversation, or because they have a bone to pick with this individual, and they want to ruin their lives, and therefore they're engaged in rumors. Rumors are rumors. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says. So this is what we say in terms of Tanayei. This is Machloket Tanayim now, we say. How high a threshold do we have for determining when a rumor is true? Rabbi Meir says simply behavior in the shuk that is unbecoming already is the high enough threshold to say that this woman should teitzei. Now here it doesn't sound like it's an obligation should teitzei. It sounds like that he has the right to divorce her and he probably should divorce her, but he's not obligated to divorce her. And that's the question that is asked on the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri subscribe to this idea that if a woman is a putza, that you're supposed to divorce her? Why is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri not addressing that, or how is he going against that Mishnah? So the answer is either that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we'll see in a second, has a high standard, but he still has a standard. His standard is just higher, and he agrees that if we know that she's a putza, if we know there's a problem, that he would have to divorce her. Or the Ramban suggests along the lines of what I just suggested, is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that there's no obligation to divorce her. The rumors might put her in the category of a prutza, and he has a right to divorce her, but that doesn't mean that he's necessarily obligated to divorce her. And that may be the way to explain Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position. But Torah amra ki matza ba'er batavar. The Torah says, why do you divorce a woman? Because you found something that is erva. V'lohalanu omer. And further on it says, apishnai medim apishlosha yedim yukum davar. So, ervat davar, and davar, we have a gzera shova, davar, that tells us that ein davar shere erva pochot mishnayim, but here we're not using it as in terms of the sense of going to court and prosecution of the woman, but rather just as evidentiary standard. We want edim, mal alan davar barur, just like when you're talking about edut. We want something that is clear and obvious, avkan davar barur. So too over here, we want something that is obvious and clear. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri does not say that if we know for certain that this has happened and we have good evidence of the fact that this woman is acting this way, that of course he would consider a prutza, or then we would believe the rumors. He just says that not davar barur in terms of black and white. Davar barur just means that something of very high standard. Rumors are just not going to make the cut. Now, we'll see in a second what we need or what type of level of evidentiary proof that we need in order for the rumors then to be substantiated. But again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri subscribes to this idea that we're not just going to allow rumors to wreck a person's life or determine the status of an individual. Whereas we see here, all the way from Rabbi Meir, who has a much lower standard, to Rabbi Akiva, who has a higher standard, but still, it's all about the rumors. It's not necessarily a standard of witnesses and evidentiary proof. But here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri takes a stand against this whole idea of rumors and says that we need real evidence in order to ascribe to someone this shame or this bad name that is being spread about them. Tarabanan, Bula ein choshishim la. If we have a rumor that a woman is a bi'ula, then we don't worry about it. Now, again, Rashi, in the same way that he did before, says, what is a bi'ula? Yatzal b'dula ba'ir kol bi'ula. We have a woman in the city who's known to be a single woman, who's never engaged with a man. And all of a sudden, the rumor is circulating that she is a bi'ula. Then we're not choshesh for the fact that Dilma, that it was pritzuta ba'amud chazula. We'll just assume that it was pritzuta, and we will not be oser her to marry the Kohen Gadol, because a bi'ula is restricted from marrying a Kohen Gadol, and therefore we're not going to assume that she is a bi'ula based on these rumors, because again, we assume that people are extrapolating from information and coming to conclusions that are not necessarily true. But when we say in our Mishnah, what about our Mishnah? It says that we are choshesh the kol. Rashi says, that's hainuk termina the command. That's a much higher standard of evidence. And therefore, the Mishnah is talking about a case where we'll see in a second what the Gemara says about the level of proof that we need for a rumor then to be substantiated. But certainly, just a rumor that she's a bi'ula is not enough. Again, here, Rashi says the bi'ula is problematic for the Kohen Gadol. And the Tosafot says the same thing that he said before. Says the same thing as we said before, that again, that the Ein Isha Bodeket Umizana, woman doesn't check out the man that she's having the Znut with, and therefore the underlying assumption is that she's involved in Znut, then that's also called a Bi'ula. And so Tosfot says that the problem here of Bi'ula is again the problem of Zonah, the problem that she's engaged with someone who is not of good standing, and that'll make it problematic for her to marry any Kohen. Forget about a Kohen Gadol, and just being a problem, bi'ula. Rashi likely did not accept that because the word bi'ula is used here and not mizana. We already saw the word mizana before. Bi'ula is going to be something different than mizana. Nisua, if there are rumors circulating that she's married, ain choshishin la. We don't worry about the fact that this woman who beforehand had been known to be single, all of a sudden there are rumors circulating that she got married. We don't worry about those rumors. Arusa, ain choshishin la. There are rumors circulating that she's halachically engaged. Again, we don't worry about those rumors. As Tosafot says, that had you just told us about Nisua, that is because Nisuin are a public event, public activity. And therefore, if you don't know about it, or there has been no public activity, then the rumors are likely not true. But in the case of Arusa, where the halachic engagement is done in private, then maybe over there the rumors are true. Again, Ein Choshishin La, we don't worry about those rumors. Shalom Leploni, Ein Choshishin La. There is a rumor going around that she got married today, but they don't have the name of the guy that she got married to. They don't have the name of the guy that she got engaged to. So they have a wedding, they have a halachic engagement, but they don't have the other party in the rumors. In choshishin la, we don't worry about it. Bi'er acheret, she got married in another city, she got halachically engaged in another city. In choshishin la, we don't worry about it. Mamzeret, that she is considered to be a mamzeret, rumors are now circulating that she is a mamzeret. Ein choshishin la, we don't worry about it. Some suggest that the case of Mamzeret is a case where a woman whose husband is away, and then she is pregnant and has a child. We assume that that child is a Mamzer, or Mamzeret, because her husband is away. So the only way that she's pregnant is because of the fact that she had an extramarital affair. Ein choshishin la, we don't worry about that. We make the assumption that her husband came back and we didn't know about it, he made a sudden appearance and left. So we try to make positive assumptions and don't automatically assume that the individual is a mamzeret. That is a case. There's much stronger evidence or circumstantial evidence that she is a mamzeret. And despite that fact, they suggest ein choshishin la. But the simpler way to read it is simply that there are rumors now circulating that she's a mamzeret. We don't worry about it. This woman who was living in the city, all of a sudden people say, oh, you know what? She's really a mamzeret. Did you know that she's a mamzeret? And that's the simpler way to explain it. Shivcha ein choshishin la. Or there are rumors circulating that she's really a maidservant. And that she's not a free woman. That again, ein choshishin la. Higdish ploni nechasav. This individual was makdish all of his possessions to Hagdish. Hifkir bloni nechasav, where this individual disowned himself from all of his possessions, ain choshishim lehem. All of these rumors, we do not pay heed to, we do not worry about it. So amar ulam. So now what do we worry about? And here is the level or substantiation of rumors that we need. Maybe even what Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was saying before, that you need a davar barur, this is the davar barur. Amar ulam lo shishamu kol havara. Not that they heard, that we're al kol havara really means the echo, but in this instance it means the rumor mill. It's not that he just heard rumors circulating. Ella, kedei shiyu neirot tolkot umitot mutzot. You see candles that are lit. You see beds that are made. Now over here, beds that are made are likely not what we think of beds that are made, but beds set up are the mitot on which they ate their meals in their day. The similar to what we have by Pesach, where they did heseba ala mitah. That's the mitah. Mitah mutzot is mean that they go in there and all the catering hall is set up. Everything's set up as if there's going to be a big occasion. Ubnei adam nichtasim yotzim. People are going in and out. Ve'omrim plonit mitkadeshet hayom. So that so-and-so is getting married today. So over here, you have a lot of circumstantial evidence that is telling us that this individual is getting married today, because you have the catering hall, you have the candles, you have the chairs set up, everything is there. And as Rashi notes over here, Neirot Dolkot, Kederach HaMitkadshot, Shenogim Simcha V'Or Ner, that is the way that people who get married generally have candles, and they have, you know, happiness, meaning that they have music or they have celebration that is associated with it. This is one of the sources for the fact that we have candles both on Shabbat and Friday night, as well as on Yom Tov, and at weddings or occasions like that, is that Rashi says here, they are associated with Simcha. They're associated with a significant event. So over here, the evidence that you need, it's not simply a rumor. You don't see a wedding, but you see all the trappings of a wedding, and including people saying that so-and-so is getting married today. Where it says, mitkadeshet, she will be getting married, the dimelo akdasha. Maybe it never got consummated. Maybe the marriage never happened. How do you know? Just because they said that she's getting married, maybe she got cold feet, never walked down the aisle. How do you know that it was actually married? Ema plonit nitkadshayom. The standard's even higher, that you have to hear that so-and-so got married today. I mean that the evidence of the party is already after the fact, meaning that she's already married, and when the people go in and out, that's a celebration for so-and-so who got married or got halachically engaged. Again, not that they're hearing the rumor mill circulating. They have the case where the candles are lit and the beds are set or the chairs are out. The women are weaving by the candlelight. And they are happy for her, meaning that it's a celebratory environment. And they're all saying, Ploni mitkadeshet hayom. So-and-so is getting married today. You might ask the same question. Mitkadeshet in the future tense. The dimelo akdasha. Who says it actually happened? Who says that it was finality to that? Rapapa, ema plonit nitkadshayom. And they're saying so-and-so got married today. So there is substantial, circumstantial evidence over here. Plus, individuals are saying that so-and-so got married. That is the type of evidence that we're talking about. That's the type of rumor that we will assume the woman is considered to be married now, even though you never saw the marriage, and we don't have witnesses directly to the marriage itself. But here you have another circumstantial evidence that we will say that is considered to be married. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Sheshamu Kol Havara. Again, this idea, not that they heard rumors. So again, here you see a big, big pushback by the Amoraim to say that when we're talking about Shmuelt over here, we're not talking about Shmuelt like you think about rumors. We're talking about rumors that have more than just simply people talking, but there's other evidence to the fact that this is true. So once again, they say not that they heard the rumors going around. El kadeshu neirot tolkot umitot mutzaot ubnei adam nichtasim yotzim amru davar. If they said something, meaning that there's all this circumstantial evidence, plus somebody said something, zehu kol. That's the kol that's mentioned in our Mishnah. Lo amru davar. If they didn't say anything, zehu amatlo. That is the excuse that's given in our Mishnah, where it says lo amru. If they didn't say anything, then halo amru, velo klum. If they didn't say anything, there's nothing to discuss over here. If you never heard from anybody that anything's happening, then what exactly, right, what exactly are you assuming is happening over here? So it's one thing to say that if we heard them saying that so-and-so got married today and the plates are, the tables are set and everything looks like a wedding, okay, from that we could conclude that the woman probably got married that day. That's the call. But the Amat law that says that if they don't say anything, you just saw a wedding hall or you saw the catering hall set up, who says you can draw any conclusions from that? And why do you need an amatla? What excuse do you need if nothing was ever said that implicated that this woman was married? So it says, lafuke midrabba bar Rav Huna. This comes to pose that position of Rabba bar Rav Huna. Damar amatla shamru, afilim ikan vadyud yamim. The excuse that you can have is from now until 10 days. Kamash malan, that we see from this, lo amiru hudav yamatla. They don't say anything then, that's an excuse. Ha'amru, lo v'yamatlo. Once they say something, there's no excuse. Or, in other words, when, in our Mishnah, we discussed this idea that you have information and a petach, and the excuse or the possibility of undermining the rumor built into it. The question is, how soon after the original information do you also need the petach? In our Mishnah, the case was, safek karov la, safekim karov lo. The Kedushin were, in effect, inherently problematic because there was a safek in the Kiddushin. Or, the get was given with a tnai, which tells me right away the possibility that the get did not go through because there was a tnai built into it. The Mishnah seems to indicate that you need that information immediately. I mean, at the time you get the first piece of information, you also get the other piece of information that allows you to undermine the rumor. What Rabba Bar Rav Huna says is, mikan vadyud yamim, does not have to be immediate. You find out that the woman was married today, and then 10 days later you hear that, well, the marriage has a safek in it, it was, we're not sure if it's closer to him, closer to her, that's not called an amatla, because the two pieces of information are separated from each other. That, according to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, is considered amatla. What we're saying over here, or what Rabbi Bar Chana is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is, that's not the case. Unless the amatla is directly connected to the original rumor, then it's believed, and you have the excuse. But if the excuse comes up later, that is not strong enough to undermine the original rumor. The fact the original rumor surfaced without the excuse means that the excuse that came later was a counterpressure to the first rumor trying to undo it, but it's not necessarily true. But when it comes, the rumor itself comes with that undermining factor, then that's the case. That's why they said over here, if nothing is said, amru davar zeh hu kol. Lo amru davar zeh hu amatla. So if something is said, that's called a kol. If nothing is said, then that is an amatla. What they're trying to say is something is said right then, that's a call, and there's no longer an ability to have an amatla associated with it. Because at the time they got the information, the excuse wasn't there, you're done. That's it. The rumor is substantiated at that point in time. Whereas for Rabbi Rav Huna, you could have something that undermines that a couple of days later. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan was coming to oppose or to disagree with, is this position of Rabbi Rav Huna. That's why he formulated it in that manner. Amar Rabbi Ava, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Lo Sheshamu Kol Avara. Again, it's not a case that they heard rumors. Ela Kedei Sheyomru Ploni Meichan Shama. Where did so-and-so hear it from? Mi Ploni, from so-and-so. U Ploni, and that individual, Mi Ploni, from another individual. U Bodchim Bolchim Achmim Le Davar HaBarur. And we go and we check it until we get back to the source of the information. I mean, that the rumor is not considered to be a substantiated rumor until we search out the source of the information, find the source of the information, and verify whether it's true or not. So, davar habarur, if we know for certain, edut maliyatohu, if you already get back to the source, and you have individuals or two individuals telling you information, that's full-fledged edut. That's not a rumor anymore. How can you call that a rumor? So, ella, Kiata Rav Shmuel Bar Yud Amar Rabbi Ava Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Lo Sheshamu Kol Avara. Not that they heard again the rumor mill or people selling the information. Ela Kedei Sheyomru Ploni Meichan Shama. That this individual could say where he heard it from. Mi Ploni, from so and so. U Ploni. And so and so. Mi Ploni, from so and so. Vachulem the Medinat Hayam. The problem is that the original source is now overseas. Or the original source is no longer here. We got back to the source, but we can't talk to the source or speak to the source itself. But we find out that the source are upstanding people, people that you normally would believe, ksherim, and that's enough evidence to substantiate the rumor here. And we don't find that it's just made up by someone or we reach a dead end. with the information where nobody knows where the source of the information is. Now, Tosafot over here says, Ad shemegiin ledavar ha-barur, here where Rabbi Abba suggests that we have to get to a solid foundation for the rumor in order to substantiate it, he says over here about that, Mistama lo polig Rabbi Abba ula delel va brayta delevi. How is it possible that Rabbi Abba is arguing on Ula's statement right before, or Levi's statement, Levi's a Tano, and he's in a Breita? How is he arguing on it? There they said it was enough. If you saw the catering hall set up, and people were saying that the wedding is today, or the woman got married today, that was enough. Over there, we didn't ask you to go back to the source and say, who did you hear from? Who did you hear it from? And yet, over here, Rabbi Abba is making that insistence. But how does that, is he arguing on them? So Tosafot suggests not. And he says, Ella, in those cases, by Ula and Levi, there was circumstantial evidence, which is that the fact that there's a catering hall, there are candles lit, there's other information that is corroborating the rumor or the information that you're being given. So there, lo b'inin shegi ledavar barur. Over there, you don't need to get back to the source of the information, because you have circumstantial evidence, plus people telling you that she's getting married. That's enough. Avahocha, the leker raglaim ledavar, here where it's coming out of thin air and you're getting information, bein shiagia ledavar barur. That's where Rabbi Abba says, then you've got to get back to the source of the information. And unless you get back to the source of information, we are not going to substantiate these rumors. So again, here we see a strong qualification by these statements of the Amoraim that rumors are just that, rumors. You need more than rumors to substantiate these issues. Either you need heavy circumstantial evidence with people saying exactly what you need, what you were expecting to hear, that this woman was married today, or you need to get back to the source. And unless we get back to the source, we're not going to substantiate these rumors or worry about these rumors. So if we started out with a question about rumors, why do you believe rumors? Here the Gemara is putting that threshold at a very high level and saying that unless you can substantiate this information, we are not going to believe these items. Or we're not going to cast aspersions on people because of that misinformation that is being spread around. Very likely for Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's reasoning, which is that there are plenty of reasons why this type of information spreads around, even though it's not true. There's so much that is said in life that is not true, even though it's a semblance of the truth, even though it was not unintentionally said, but a lot of times the wrong information is passed on because people jump to conclusions, people like to speak, and people like to talk. And therefore, we're not going to believe them unless we can come to a conclusion that these are really substantiated rumors. So now, Amar Lei Abaye the Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye asks his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, Mevatlinan kala olo mevatlinan? Do we as a Beit Din step in to stop a kol? Rashi over here says, well, why is the Beit Din trying to stop the kol over here? So Rashi gives two possibilities. He says either, Shemanu kol yotze mipi nashim v'tinokot. We hear the rumor is coming from the women and the children. Do we shut it down? So that we get the evidentiary chain, and we go back up the chain, and we can't find those individuals. I mean, that the source, even though we know maybe know who it is, we can't speak to them, and they're not around. And since we don't have a source for the information, does Beit Din step in and say, shut it down? We don't want these rumors circulating. Or Rashi gives a second possibility, Inami. Those two individuals who were fingered as the source for the rumor and were overseas. And that's why right now we can't substantiate it, but we assume they are Ksherim. But eventually they show up. We never said such a thing. Nothing of sort ever took place. So here we have evidence to the fact that it didn't happen. Tosafot over here favors Rashi's second explanation because over there, it makes sense that Beit Din would intervene in that circumstance. Where you go back to the source of the rumor, and again, they're not around. So they assumed it was true because these are Ksherim. Also, those people show up and tell us it's not true. There you have definitive evidence of the fact that it's not true. So for Beit Din to put their reputation on the line in that case isn't a big deal because the source of the rumors are saying that it wasn't true. So for Beit Din to step in then makes sense. On the other hand, when you're talking about a case where we get back to the origins of the rumor, but they're just not around for us to ask them or to find out the information, do we then jump to the conclusion that it's not true or assume that it is true because of Ksherim? Why should that affect Beit Din's actions? And that's why Tosafot over here says that he thinks that the second explanation in Rashi makes more sense versus the first explanation Because we don't necessarily listen to rumors, but for Beit Din to step in and stop the rumors, then we might even have a higher threshold for that. So Amalei, Midamar Rav Chisda, Ad Shishmu Mipi Aksherim, that we only allow rumors to be substantiated if we have the origins of the rumor be somebody who is kasher, and even though he's not here right now, we can't ask him, but it's coming from someone who is of good standing, then we believe the rumors, and then we worry about the rumors. So what you see here is that Chazal made a demand of a high threshold or high standard of what is considered to be a substantiated rumor. And by that fact, you see that they're makil in these instances. So here, that if they're makil over there, they should also be makil by squelching rumors. And that is Shmaminam, Batlin and Kala. So too over there, that whatever the evidence is, if we get evidence that they're lying or that there's a reason not to believe them, then Beit Din should step in and deal with the situation. Meaning that we are more likely to intervene to stop rumors or not to believe rumors than we are to believe rumors or to substantiate rumors. And since we're makil, even in the substantiation of the rumors, we're also going to be makil for them to step in and stop it. And even though, as Tosafot points out, in the stories that we had before, he heard when they went to the catering hall and saw everything set up that the women who were weaving there were saying that so-and-so got married. And that's not coming from Piak Sherim, Sherim Leidut. It's only coming from a woman, that rumor. We believed it over there. So either Tosafot says the gears over there should not be Nashim, or you can say, like we just said before, that when there's circumstantial evidence over there, our threshold is lowered. So just like before where we said that if there's circumstantial evidence, we don't require you to go and substantiate and figure out everything. So too, maybe Nashim are sufficient in that case. But over here, when we're talking about they have to be Ksherim, is when we don't have that circumstantial evidence. Don't have that circumstantial evidence. They have to be both be Ksherim, and it has to be Devar Barur. It has to be something that we go back to the source of the rumor. Amalei, Adrabo, Midamar Rav Sheshet, Afilu Mipi Nashim Habikol. A rumor is considered to be a rumor, even if it's passed through women or other individuals who are not necessarily Kasher Le'edot. Shmamina Lomi Batlin Ankala. Over there you see that. It's the Chumra that will even allow this evidence to pass through individuals or rumors to pass through individuals who don't normally have a status of Eidut, and we worry about them. So from there you would say that they're not Mekil. They're actually Machmir by rumors, and then you would assume that they are not Mevatlim Kola. The way that most of them are explaining over here is how much information do we have that breaks the rumor, and then does Beit Din act on that? We did see before, it's brought over here, I think by the Shita Mekubetza brings it over here as well, that we are worried about the reputation of Beit Din. That if Beit Din intervenes in these situations, there's a risk that they're going to be seen as the defender of the people of ill repute, of people whose names have been pushed through the mud, and all of a sudden they're stepping in. Every time that the people have, every time rumors circulate about individuals, all of a sudden Beit Din's there to defend them. And obviously they're going to be wrong in some of these circumstances. And therefore, do we want Beit Din getting involved unless we have absolute certainty in these cases? Or do we want Beit Din involved in this at all? Maybe this is just not an area that we want Beit Din to be involved with, because if Beit Din gets involved in these areas, it's going to become a slippery slope as well as a very gray area, because many times we're not going to have the type of evidence we need to squelch the rumors. So because of that, we will tell Beit Din not to get involved at all rather than get involved. The Gemara in the end says, and this is what we mentioned earlier in the Masechta when we quoted this Gemara, Amlei Atarvata Ninhu. It is a minhag of shtei mikomot. Meaning that there are different minhagim depending on the city. Besura mevat lekala. In Sura, the practice was that they were mevat lekala. Benarda lo mevat lekala. In Arda, they did not mevat lekala. Meaning, depending on the location, there were different practices with regards to whether Beit Din stepped in to quash these rumors. Hay the nafek ala kala di gadsho. There was a rumor circulating that this woman got married, the Bar Bei Rav, to one of the students of the Beit Midrash, Acher Rav Chama Lavua. So Rav Chama comes to her father, Amarlei, Emali Heche Avulda. Tell me what the circumstance was by which they're saying now your daughter's married to one of the students of the academy. Amarlei, Altsnai Kadish, Adaita Deloaza LeBei Chozai. They got married, or the marriage was premised on the fact that he would not go to Beit Chozai. Vazal. And he ended up going to Beit Chozai. Amalei came into Beidna Davi Kala Lohavi Amatlo. Since the quote-unquote excuse wasn't around at the time that the rumor surfaced. Remember before that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Chano, you need them to happen at the same time, simultaneous. Here, the reason to believe that it's not true comes out after the fact. It's not associated together with the Kiddushin. You don't have the right now to make something into an amatla, into an excuse, because it's not connected to the origins of the rumor. I mean that you're changing the story now, even though he may know the truth, but the fact that he's changing the story later on already is problematic, or does not allow us then to say that that's an offset to the rumor that existed before. There was rumors circulating about this woman who got married, Be'atzifa de Tuchla, and the ring that was used, quote-unquote, the Hariat Mikudesh Li, and he has to give her some sort of valuable item. So over there, he gave her Atzifa de Tuchla. That's what the rumor says. Rashi claims that Atzifa de Tuchla are unripened dates that will never fully ripen. But they put them in baskets, and they let them soften in the baskets, as well as the possibility that they bury them in the ground in order to have them soften. And then even when you eat those dates, in the end, they never fully ripen. So when you eat the dates, the pit will still have flesh of the date around it, because it's that part is still raw and not really edible. And so that's what he used. He was a very, very romantic guy. He gave her chewed on date pits that still had, you know, some date left on them. Well, and that was the valuable that he used to engage this woman. Or, you can see here on the side, the Masorah Shas brings from the Aruch, which is Kli Malei Shechlayim. It was a basket or a utensil full of cress, again, which is not a substantial item. Or he says, Perish Acher Garina Shel Tamara, which is what we just saw in the Rashi. So that's the valuable that he used to engage her. Be'ena de Be'shefei, on the Mayan, on the spring of Beishefe, Shachar of Adi Ba'avin the Kameh de Abaye. So Rav Adi Ba'avin sent the question to Abaye and say, do we worry about this being a marriage or this woman is married? Ki ay gav namai. What do we do in this circumstance? Even according to the Deah that says normally we do not suppress rumors, Bahava Vatlin and Kala. Over here we will suppress the rumor. Mei ma'amre, ainu behu rabbanim bikidushah, because over here, the petach existed with the rumor itself. The manner by which he engaged this woman, which was with some low value item, something that has almost no value at all, these chewed up date pits, or this little watercress, over there, the petach itself was, quote unquote, married to the rumor. And since it was married to the rumor, therefore, the excuse has the ability to undermine the rumor. And what people will say is not that Beit Din is coming in here to suppress the rumor, but Beit Din checked out the information and saw that he didn't give her something so valuable. I mean that the reason for why Beit Din would undermine it is built into the rumor itself, and that gives you enough opportunity to suppress the rumor because the Amat law exists with the rumor. Rashi over here says, the whole reason to lo mevatlin and kala, in only v'nei chashad, is because of chashad. V'hacha like a chashad. Over here there's no chashad because of the fact that the people have an explanation for why Beit Din undid it. So either nafik ala kala di kacha lo, l'chad mi v'nei planya. There are rumors circling that this woman got engaged, halakhically engaged to the sons of one family or from someone from this location. Avarava, filaman damar lo mevatlin and kala. Even according to the one who says normally we do not suppress rumors or Beit Din doesn't get involved. Over here we do this. Meimar Amrei, Ainu Behu Rabbanim Bikidushay. Rabbanim looked into the Kiddushin. Bikidushay Katana Avul. And the marriage or the engagement was to someone who was not of age. Because even though the individual looked like he was of age, so he wasn't of age. So they checked into it and they see that. So that's what it means, Mibnei Planyo. B'nai Planya suggests that the children of so-and-so are the youngsters of so-and-so. So there's a possibility that they were not necessarily bar mitzvah yet. It wasn't at the age where they are determined not to be a katan. So again, there you have the amat law built into the rumor, which is the possibility that this person is underage. And there's an underage engagement over here. And so that's what they'll assume when we are suppressing the rumor. And the reason we are going to be mevatel the kol over here is because they checked into it and it's not true. And once they checked into it and it's not true, they're going to suppress the rumor. And they won't worry about what other people think because the other people are going to say, the Rabbanim looked into the matter and they found out that one of these individuals was a katan. Others want to suggest that this is similar to the case before in the Braita where we saw that if there are rumors circulating that she's married, but we don't know to whom she is married, then we're not choshesh for those rumors. Over here, many of the Rishonim reject that understanding because they say over here, when the case here is not that we don't know who, we just have a much narrower scope of individuals to whom she could be married. Or they're thinking it's the father when it's really the son. There, here, that is not exactly what the Braita was talking about. Over there in the Braita, there's many cases where they say she's engaged or married, and there's no party that's mentioned on the other end. Here, we have a party mentioned on the other end. It's a little broader than a single individual, but it's still that there is a rumor about who she is married to. As opposed to the case in the Braita, where there is no information about who the counterparty is to the marriage. Already, nafagala kala dikacha the katan, hanireh kegadol. So there was this rumor circulating about this woman that she got engaged to a katan who looks like someone who's of age. He's more mature than his age. He's bigger than his age. And therefore he looks like he is of age. So I'm Rav Mordechai the Ravashi, Hava Uvda, from Ruah, Adayin lo yigia leflagot Ruvain. Shenemar, leflagot Ruvain, gidolim michikre leiv. There was an incident like this and they said he hasn't reached yet the maturity of Ruvain, or the age of Ruvain. This is in Shirat Devorah, when she's speaking about the Shvatim that didn't show up to fight the battle. Mm-hmm. So over there it says, L'flagot Ruvain Gidolim Chikrei Lev. So the tribes or divisions of Ruvain, there is much searching of the heart. And so Rashi says, based on the Pasuk over there, they associate the Chikrei Lev, which is Chuchmah, with the gedolim, with being a gadol. And therefore, afopi, even though a person physically looks older, nevertheless, all you have to do is look at his actions and the way that he speaks, and you'll know that he is a youngster. I mean, that maturity is not just simply a measure of physical size, it's also a measure of the intelligence and the capabilities of the individual. And so therefore, you would assume here again, that even though he looks like a gadol, people understand that that doesn't mean he is necessarily a gadol. Okay, bovachelo te sham amatlo. As long as there is no excuse over there. Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, this is the Rabba Bar Rav Huna before that. We said that Amar Rav Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan came to preclude or to oppose. Here's his position. Amatlo shamru afilu mikan ve'adasara yamim. The excuse or the undermining of the rumor can be from now until 10 days. Rav Zvir Amar, b'makom amatlo choshishim la'amatlo. In the place of the amato, we worry about the amato. That means that, as Rashi notes over here, afilu ein amato, ela makom upetach ish ledavar. Even if we don't have the information that tells us that there's an excuse or a reason to believe that it's not true, but rather, from the story itself, we can figure out a way to undermine it. I mean that, not that we've gotten the information to undermine it, but we, in hearing the story, can already figure out how there was a problem in the story, or how there's a possibility that the story is not true. That's the way the Rashi explains b'mkom amatlo. The Rabbeinu Chananel, on the other hand, says that b'mkom amatlo means that it's severe, that it's logical. The excuse makes sense, or the story behind the excuse makes sense for why the rumor is circulating. And in that case, we'll allow her to bring up the amatlo later on, because she has a good explanation, acceptable explanation for why the rumors are circulating. There's some question over here in the statement of Rav Zvid if there should be a Vava Chibur. If Rav Zvid is modifying or qualifying Rabba Bar Rav Huna's statement, or he's making an independent statement, is he saying that what you're saying, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that even after 10 days you can have an excuse in Amatlo, that's only if there was a Petach. Only if there was a reason to believe the Amatlo was there in the beginning, then when it comes up later on, then we say that that's a good amatlo. But you at least have to have that petach, or that possibility that existed at the time of the rumor. Or is Rav Zvid making a totally independent opinion about the quality of the amatlo that we need? We don't need a real amatlo. We simply need the possibility of explaining the rumor, or a way that we could get out of the rumor, even if we don't have the amatlo. And therefore, Rav Zvid would be arguing on the position of Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that might depend on whether there's a vav in the girsa of Rav Zvid or not. Eit bei Rav Papa the Rav Zvid, uvaj leitei sham amatlo. That our Mishnah says, as long as there is no amatlo over there, as long as there's no excuse. Amalei bimkom amatlo kamar. So now, it doesn't mean literally an amatlo. What his point was is, it doesn't say makom amatlo, it says amatlo. that you need the excuse that's there, you need the reason to be given to you in the rumor. So he says, no, read the Mishnah, not to say amatla, really, but makom amatla means that there is within the story a possibility of finding a weakness in the story by which you can say that maybe it's not true. Similar of Gan or Papa, Vat lo tizbira. Papa, you don't hold of the fact that we look for a petach, or we find a way to undermine this. Vat's none. Don't we have a Mishnah? Nidkatsha. Vachakach babala. Teret lakzor. In a case where a woman gets married because she thinks her husband passed away, a single aide came, told her that her husband passed away. After checking into the matter, she believes the single aide, Beit Din approves of it, and she goes in and gets married. Then her husband shows up. The unfortunate scenario where her husband shows up, Muter Lachzor. She's allowed to return to her original husband. Why? La Mishum Darminan Altnai Kaddish. Isn't the reason because people will assume, what will they assume? That this, when she got married to the second individual, she said, we are only married, we only have Kiddushin Altnai, that my husband has passed away. If my husband has passed away, then we have Kiddushin. My husband didn't pass away, we do not have Kiddushin. But there, that was never said. That was never really said. And nobody's telling us that that was said. But what do? We make the assumption that that must have been the premise of the marriage. And therefore, people will understand why she's going back to her original husband, because they'll assume that the Kiddushin that she had with the second guy never went to fruition, because the Tanai was not Mekuyam. The guy says, no, Shani Hotam, Dati Baal, the Kame'arer. No, the reason there that it is because the husband's coming at it and saying to us, I never divorced her, I never died, and therefore she shouldn't be married. I mean, that the husband is here to show us why she's going back to the original husband, because everybody's going to know that she wasn't married to the second guy because she was really married to the first guy. And the first guy is telling us that I never divorced her, I never had anything that would separate us. Ihochi niseit nami. That's the case, even a consummated marriage should be the same. The Mishnah that we just read, Mishnah from Yevamot, says in the case where she has Kiddushin, she never consummated the second marriage, but simply entered into Kiddushin in the second marriage, then she's allowed to return to her original husband. On the other hand, if she actually consummates the marriage with the second individual, and then her husband shows up, she's not allowed to go back to her husband. Mara wants to know why. If the husband is here telling us that she shouldn't have been able to get married to this individual, and that it was all on a mistaken premise, then why don't we allow her also to return to her husband in the case of Nisuin? Where it says, Niseit da'avda isura, in the case where she consummated the marriage and did something that was asur, kansua rabbanon. There the rabbanon penalized her and said she may not go back to her original husband. Nitkatsha, in the case of simply halachic engagement where she did not consummate the marriage, da'avda isura, there where she did nothing wrong, because all she did was accept Kiddushin, but didn't act on that Kiddushin, lo kansua rabbanon. There, the rabbanon did not penalize her. Or in other words, and this we learned that from the Mishnah Yevamot, which says that in the case of Nisuin, in the case where she consummates the marriage, teitzei mizeh mizeh, she has to divorce both parties, that all her children are mamzerim, so on and so forth, all the things we just saw, this is a little earlier in Masechet Gittin as well, those penalties are put in place in order for her to check the issue out properly. Which is that we're already being makiel to allow a single aide, even a non-kosher aide, tell her that her husband has passed away and allow her to get married. So that's a big kula. How do we make sure that people don't abuse that kula? We say to them in the back end, if we find out it's not true and you marry this second guy, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your second marriage and your first marriage and everything else that's associated with it. So therefore, you better check into this carefully. You better be certain that you're getting married on good evidence, because otherwise you know what the outcome will be in the end. So therefore, there are abundant word kones and bakom isur that she may not go back to either party. So now, what is the fear in this case? And Rashi discussed this early in the Masechta as well. The fear in this case is that the woman was married to the first party, then she gets married to the second party, and then her husband shows up, and she goes back to her original husband. So now, when she goes back to her original husband, people are going to think that what really happened over here was her first husband divorced her, her second husband married her properly, then she divorced or he died, and now she's going back to her original husband, which says that he is being machzir grushato. and being Magzir Grushato is improper. But that's what, from an outsider, that's what it looks like is happening. Because we assume that the second marriage was a good marriage, and we're demanding her to get a get from the second guy. By getting a get from the second guy, it looks like she was really married to him. She was really married to him. It must have been because the first guy divorced her. If that's the case, people are going to now come to the wrong conclusion about allowing her to go back to her original husband, which is that she was a divorcee from the original husband, and now he's Machzir Grushato, even though there was another party married to her in the interim. So that's what we're worried about over here. And the Gemara in the end says, in this case, we don't worry about it either because, at first, the Gemara's Havamina is because we say the Petach is built in. There's a Makom Amatla here, which is that we assume that people will say that the Kedushin were Al-Tanai. The second Kedushin are Al-Tanai, and since they're Al-Tanai, therefore, that's why they unwound, and there was really no marriage over here. Or, the Gemara then rejects that and says, no, that's not the reason. The reason is that the husband is standing here. And now that the husband is standing here, nobody's going to say that the husband divorced her up front, because he's saying, I never divorced her. I never got rid of her. He's telling us the information. He's almost in and of himself suppressing whatever rumors would come up, because he's saying, I never divorced her, I never left her. So the Gemara says, once you've reached that conclusion that we don't worry about that, then why in the case of Nisuin do we also not say that? We say the same thing in the case of Nisuin, that the husband's telling us that she was never divorced, and the reason she's going back to her husband is because she was an anusa. She was a woman who didn't know, and an anusa, and therefore she can return to her original husband. Gemara says, no, there the Chachamim penalized her. Even though maybe the rumors are not going to circulate, the Chachamim penalized her because of the fact that she engaged in this second marriage without completely checking out the information that she got that her husband had passed away. Amar Vashi, kol kala d'loy tchazek bebeidina lav kalahu. Any rumor that was not substantiated within Beit Din is not considered to be a real rumor. As Rashi explains over here, shelo badkut Beit Din acharav. That it's not simply just a rumor that's circulating, but it's something that Beit Din has already checked into, and there is good sources for the rumor. Even though we can't substantiate the facts of the rumor, at least we know where it came from, and the people that it derived from are Ksherim. So, Amar Ravashi, Kokala de Batu Nisuin, Lo Chashinanle. This is the Ravashi that we quoted right after the Mishnah, that any rumors that circulate after marriage, we do not worry about them, we're not concerned with them. Ha de batei usin chashininle. Well, it sounds from this that you would infer that it's only after nisuin, after consummation of the marriage, do we not worry about them. But between erusin and nisuin, we would worry about it. Rav Chavir amar, afilu de batei erusin nami lo chashininle. That's wrong. Rav Chavir says, no, even rumors after erusin, once the point of kiddushin is reached, we no longer worry about the rumors that surface at that point in time. And the loch is that we do not worry about those types of rumors. And Rashi explains over here, the reason that we're not choshesh for rumors that circulate or surface after the marriage, because how are you going to rectify the problem? If you come and force her to get a get from the individual who the rumors are circulating about that she was married to him, first of all, by giving the get, you're only substantiating the rumors more. Number two is, if you do have her get a get from the other individual, she will not be able to remain married with her current husband. Because that means that until now, she was living with her husband in sin, because she was really married to the other individual. And we have the din, that a woman is restricted both to the baal and the boel, in an instance where she has an extramarital affair. And over here, this would be deemed to be an extramarital affair, because she doesn't get the divorce till later on. So for that reason, we're not choshesh for the rumors that surface only once she's married, because first of all, that's going to ruin her marriage, and only serve to substantiate the rumors even more. And then in the case of Erusin, where we won't have all of these issues, because they didn't consummate the marriage yet, and you don't have a problem of a boel making a sur, Rashi says, shelo tidkane abalo, that he shouldn't feel like she was really married to someone else. If she gets a get now after Erusin, it's going to make him feel terrible about this, that he's marrying a woman who's already married. And therefore we don't, again, substantiate the rumors by forcing her to get a get, and also maybe even ruin the good feeling about her current marriage. The Rabbeinu Tam brings a case by which there was a woman who was married to an individual, and after she was married, rumors start to surface that she was actually married to another individual before she got married to this individual and never got divorced from that individual. There, Rabbeinu Tam says, for two reasons, we do not believe these rumors. Number one is that these rumors only surfaced after the marriage, and we pass them like Rav Ashi, that rumors after the marriage are not heeded. And in addition to that, the individual who she is rumored to have been married to was at her chuppah with the second guy. So that is along the lines maybe of what we think in a secular marriage, where they say, is there anybody here who objects to the marriage that's going on? The fact that the guy was standing there, who she supposedly was married to when she's marrying the second individual, and he doesn't say anything. Or the way that Rabbeinu Tam formulated it is something that we're going to see in a second, that a woman is not me'iz panah. She would not be so brazen as to say that she's divorced in front of her husband unless she was divorced. That's the same thing as her getting married in front of her, quote unquote, current husband. She wouldn't do that unless she was released from him or never married to him. And so for those two reasons, we do not worry about these rumors that surfaced. And the Rabbeinu Tam says that this woman does not need to get from that individual. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shochule mi Bei Rav l'Shmuel. So from the Beit Midrash of Rav, that means the Rav has probably passed away already, and the Talmidim of Rav are sending over to Shmuel, who is still alive. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, our Rebbe, please teach us. Yatzah le'akol mirishon, uba acher v'kidsha, kidushei Torah mahu. If there was a rumor already circulating from the first marriage, and then someone else comes and gets halachically engaged to this individual, Shalach lehu, he sent back to them, Tetzei, Veimidu davar al boryo. She has to be divorced, and then straighten out the issue, Vodiyuni, and let me know what happened. The Gemara says, my, what is meant by this statement of Veimidu davar al boryo? What exactly is the information that Shmuel is looking for? Ilema di megalia milta di kidushe kama lav kidushe ma'alyaninu. If we find out that the original kidushin were not real kidushin, mivatlin and kala, we would suppress the rumor then. So again, what the case is here is that there's a call coming from the first guy that a rumor circulated that she got engaged or married to the first individual. And we know for certain that she has kidushin from the second individual. So now, who do we think she's married to? Do we think she's married to the first guy or to the second guy? So Shmuel says, have her divorce the second guy, and then let's figure out the information. So Mary wants to know, what information is he looking for? If we find out in the end that she was never engaged to the first guy, then Mivatlin and Kala, we would suppress the rumor, and we would allow her then to stay with the second guy. Va Narda, Atre de Shmuelu. Narda is Shmuel City. And we saw before that was the difference between Surah and Narda, that in Surah they did suppress rumors, in Narda they did not suppress rumors. So that can't be the information that Shmuel is looking for, because Shmuel comes from a city where they don't worry about that issue. Now, even though the questioners over here were the Bei Rav, the Talmidim of Rav, who are from Surah and who are Mevatel Kala, nevertheless, Shmuel, who's paskening for them, still wouldn't pasken against his own position. So even though the incident is in Surah, but because Shmuel's from Narda, and in Narda they don't suppress rumors, he wouldn't paskin for them otherwise, and that's why this can't be the explanation. Ella, de'imigalya milto de kidushe kama kidushe ma'al yuninu. Ella, what the information he's looking for is to find out if the original rumor was true, and we find out that she was really married, or halacha engaged to the first individual. Lo tzricha get misheni. Then she does not need a get from the second party. Obliga the Rav Huna. And that argues on Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, eshet ish, pashta yada b'kibla kiddushin me'acher, mikudeshet. A married woman who accepts kiddushin from another party, mikudeshet. She has a din of being a mikudeshet. And the Rashba notes over here, not that we really think she's married to the second individual, but that we're choshesh for the fact that she's married to the second guy, and that's why we will require her to get a get from the second guy, which will then impact on her ability to remain married to the first guy. But this is all mitzvah chashash, not because we're certain that the second kiddushin really took effect. Yid Rav Amnuna. He bases his position on Rav Amnuna. Dam Rav Amnuna, isha shamra lebala girishtani, a woman who says that my husband divorced me, ne'amenet. She is believed. Chazoka in isha me'izah panah bifnei bala. A woman would not say in front of her, in front of the face of her husband that she's divorced from him, unless she's really divorced. We spoke about this earlier in the Masechta, and we said that that might have changed with the times. In their time, a woman would not say that or lie to her husband and say she's divorced when she's not divorced. Today, a woman may not have that reticence to do it, or have that chazaka that enemy is zapping out b'fnei bala, and this might not be true today. But since a woman who says that she is divorced, she is believed, so then in this instance, you have no better divorce than the fact that she accepted kiddushin from someone else. The fact that she accepted kiddushin from someone else indicates that she must have been divorced, or as if she is saying, I'm divorced from my first husband. So that's why we make her get a get from this second individual, because we're choshesh through the fact that her acceptance of that kiddushin is indicative of the fact that she was divorced from her first husband. Vidach. And those that argue on Rav Amnuna, what do they say? Kitmar the Rav Amnuna bifanav. That's very clear here that the only time that the woman is believed or has that believability about divorce is when it's done face to face with the husband. That is the reticence that she has to lie to the face of the person who knows the truth or the person who would object to her lying. Shalom bifanav me'iza o me'iza. But if it's not in front of him, she has no problem saying whatever she wants to say. So here, she accepted kiddushin from another party and her husband wasn't present, that's as if she's saying, I'm divorced. So we believe her because she wouldn't say she was divorced unless she really was divorced. So she wouldn't accept kiddushin unless she was really divorced. Over there, her husband's not present. So over there, she can play games, she can say whatever she wants to say because she doesn't have that offsetting factor that her husband is present, that she's saying in front of his face that she's divorced. Over there, she's doing that not face-to-face with her husband, and therefore, we don't believe that she's divorced. We don't assume she's divorced, and the second kiddushin is considered not to be anything or any kiddushin, and therefore, she doesn't need a get, in that case, from the second individual, according to those shitot that argue on Rav Huna. Lo matzu davar aboryo ma'u. If they don't find that she was married to the first individual, so in that case, if she was married to the first individual, then we would assume she doesn't need a get from the sheni. But over here, we don't get that evidence, that Shmuel saying. So then what do we do? Amar Rav Huna, migareish rishon, v'noseh sheni. She divorces the first guy and can marry the second guy. Because the rumors are there. We don't have any clarification about what the story is with the first guy. So now we have really safek kiddushin with both of them. Safek kiddushin with the first guy and safek kiddushin with the second guy. The safek kiddushin with the second guy derives from the fact that there's safek kiddushin with the first guy. And we're unable to clarify the information or find out that it was really a marriage or there was kiddushin for sure. So there she divorces from the first one, but no says sheni, and then marries the second guy. Aval, but you cannot do the other way around, which is megareish sheni, divorce the second guy, but no says rishon, lo. That you may not do. My taima, altel lemeimer magzir grushato min erusin. Because they're going to say that you're allowed to be magzir grushato when it is from the erusin. Because over here, what happened was, the assumption was that she was married to the first guy. Now she's married to the second guy. Why was she married to the second guy? Because she got divorced from the first guy. Now she gets divorced from the second guy and is going back to her original husband. So what people are going to assume is that this is a case of magzir grushato min ha'erusin. And so you would think that that is permissible. He's taking her back because there was only gerushin from the erusin. Since there was only gerushin from the erusin, it's not deemed to be machzir grushato. The case of machzir grushato is only if they consummate the marriage and then get divorced. Then there's a problem of machzir grushato. So if she gets married and then consummates that marriage, then divorces and goes to engage with another party or gets married to another party, she may not then return to her original husband. But if she was only halakhically engaged to the first husband, then got divorced from him, then got engaged to another party, and then goes back to the original husband, maybe that would be mutar, because that's magzir grushato from the erusin. So there, maybe you would say, since the first individual was only halakhically engaged to her, and then she married and consummated the marriage with the second guy, maybe he's allowed to be magzir grushato, the first guy, because their first marriage wasn't a full-fledged marriage. Therefore, when he divorced her, that divorce is not subject to the din of magzir grushato. Kamash Balon, that we do not say that. Obviously, that's not true, but we don't want people to think that. Since we don't want people to think that, we don't allow her to divorce the second guy and go back to the first guy. The only option we give her is to divorce the first guy and stay with the second guy. Rav Shinina Brei, the Rav Idi, Amar af migration even osei rishon. She's even permitted to divorce the second guy. Go back to the original guy. Meima amai aini rabbanu mikdushay kedushay taud ava. Because once again here, well, people will assume that not that she was married originally to the first guy, but somebody the first marriage wasn't a real marriage, and that's why the second marriage took hold, because the first marriage wasn't a real marriage. Not that they got divorced, but simply the marriage was premised on something that was false, or there was a problem in the marriage, and that's why she married the second guy. Yatzaleh kol mizeh mizeh mao. What happens if there are rumors circulating that she is engaged to number one and engaged to number two? So there are rumors circulating that she's engaged to two parties over here. The case before was a case where there was rumors about the first guy, and we knew for certain that the second guy got engaged to her. So we know for certain the second kiddushin or kiddushin. We just weren't sure about the first one. In this circumstance, we don't have evidence about either. We don't know if the first kiddushin were real. It's only a rumor. We don't know if the second kiddushin are real. So there, Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says the din here is the same, which is af zu migareish mishom noseh sheni. The same din over here, where she's allowed to divorce the first guy and marry the second guy. Amar 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 muteret l'shneim. She's muteret to go to both of them. Rashi says, Klomar af migareish sheni even noseh rishon. He can even divorce the second one and marry the first one. Fa'filu Rav Huna modeh b'ha. Even Rav Huna will agree over here. Meaning that even though in the case where you had a rumor about the first Kiddushin and fact about the second Kiddushin over there, Rav Huna says, you can only do one thing, which is divorce the first guy and go to the second guy. Over here, he'll agree. Because over here, the whole thing was a safek. The Kiddushin on both sides is a safek. And therefore, we're not going to worry about it. And Rav Papa and Amemar are arguing within the position of Rav Huna, which according to Tosfot shows you that the Gemara seemingly thinks that the Locha is like Rav Huna. And Tosfot says about Rav Huna's position that if we know for certain that she was really married to the first guy, then she cannot divorce the second guy and marry the first guy, because that will look like Makzir Grushato, since we've substantiated that she really was married to the first guy. But Rav Huna's chiddush is that even in a case where we can never substantiate the information of whether she was married to the first guy, we never hey mid davar boyo, nevertheless, you still can't divorce the second guy and go marry the first guy because of the optics here that looks like he is machzir grushato min ha'irusin. Tosfot here brings an interesting case. Maaseh ba lifnei Rabbeinu Tam. It's an incident that came before the Rabbeinu Tam. Sheyatza al get echad kol pasul. A rumor circulated about a get that it was problematic. Vinatanu get sheni mipnei alaz. So they drew up another get in order to get rid of the rumors. V'lo itzricha Rabbeinu Tam lantin gimel chodeshim izman get sheni. The Rabbeinu Tam did not make her wait 3 months from the second get, but rather only from the first get. Because since the get arishon was really kasher, and the second get was only to suppress the rumors, or to make sure that this woman is clean and she doesn't have to worry about it. So therefore, we don't make her count from the second get, just the first get. Because the second get was just done to make everybody happy and make sure that nobody spread rumors anymore. But the real get was the first get. And he brings a proof to this from our Gemara, where is muter l'shnehem. In a case where there are rumors circulating about both parties, she has a choice of which of them to divorce and which of them to marry. So even though it looks like Makzir Grushato, we don't worry about it. And so is to over here. Since there's only rumors that the first get was not good, those rumors are not enough to ruin it for her that the counting starts from the first get. The Re rejects the proof from here. Veri dein rayash tishani hocha. Tavi kol mizeh mizeh. Because over here, both sides are problematic. You have a rumor that she married one, and a rumor that she married number two. And then it's not exactly like the case of Makzir Grushato. But when you're dealing with a different type of rumor, over there maybe you'd be Machmir, because in essence you have a marriage that is a full-fledged marriage, and then you have a get, which is rumored to be a problematic get. So in that case, where the rumor is only about one item, then we're going to worry about it, and if she gets another get, we'll only count from the second get. But when you're dealing with a rumor against a rumor, there already both things are weakened. Since both are weakened, then we allow her to divorce one and marry the other. We don't worry about it. It looks like Magzir Grushato Me'erusin. Because already the whole thing is a rumor mill. The whole thing is not a substantiated case, and therefore we don't worry about it. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Tzadi Amud Aleph.